Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lauver.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hope you had a wonderful week. This week, we are talking about the recently released, or maybe a little bit recently.
It's only been out a week.
Has it?
Yeah, like, no, 2 weeks tomorrow.
2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks tomorrow.
28 years later, we finally saw it, and I was actually kind of surprised, man. It's actually really good, especially with like how kind of sequels and reboots have been going lately.
Yeah.
But this one was good. Unfortunately, there was a lot of movies that came out that weren't good. You had Megan 2.0. So we had to choose. We had Megan 2.0, and we had, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, 28 years later. That,
yeah.
Hands down. Yeah.
And I don't know, looking at the trailers for Megan 2.0, I was not wowed by it. So 28 years later, of course, it's been like 18 years since, you know, the last sequel. So I'm like, yeah, let's do this one. And
plus it's more, you know, it's more up our alley as far as like, yeah, our horror taste go. It's, you know,
yeah,
it's zombies and a zombie outbreak. It's, you know,
yeah, that's nothing against people who love Megan. The first one
was decent. I didn't mind the first one,
but
it was palatable.
With the second one, it just looked like it was like Terminator, like, you know, she, like, Fembot Skynet, and then it was just, yeah, it was just like, it didn't look too good, and the reviews aren't really great on it either. So this wasn't a hard decision for me for us to make with 28 years later. Yeah, this is really good. It's shot amazingly on iPhone 15 Max Pro.
Pro Max.
Oh, Pro Max. Sorry, I'm
Pro
not
Max.
I'm not an Apple person.
Yeah, I'm not an Apple person either.
But it was shot all on iPhone. There's pictures and stuff of them shooting it on like rigged, you know, cool rigged stuff where it has like iPhones, like a ton of them, like just being on a, like a little rig and them shooting like the alphas and stuff like that, which is another really cool thing too, is the alphas. I know a lot of people were like,
I think that alpha thing was much ado about nothing. I'm going to interject on that one. Like, I really felt like, and this is how I kind of like presented it to people, was I kind of felt like they were going to go more like The Watchmen. If you ever saw The Watchmen, basically The Watchmen is based on the comic. And when they brought it to the big screen, the main character, he basically was like this blue entity. He's like celestial being. And yeah, every single shot you saw like his tallywhacker.
Yeah,
that was
pretty
just
much
what it was. This, really, truthfully, you get almost as much full frontal in the first movie.
Yeah.
28 days later.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's laying there on the stretcher, it's the same thing, basically, except that these are obviously, like, they're enhanced, but they're supposed to be enhanced because It's like, you know.
Yeah, the rage is
the
like
alpha species. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they gave them steroids. Like, yeah. Well, which is like, I don't know, kind of cool too, because it's supposed to be like, you know, some kind of like hierarchy within these infected. Not zombies, they're infected. Let's get that.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people, like a lot of reviews calling them zombies. They're not zombies because they're not dead. I mean, some of them are, but they're not reanimated.
Yeah.
They're alive. They're just infected with
Yeah, that's
rage.
Why they still die after 28 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But it was really good, man. I liked it a lot. I liked the alphas. Dude, I liked, and for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, go watch it, check it out. But this episode's going to be full of spoilers. But I just like the way the alphas react. I mean, I like the way a lot of them react, but the alphas are like, dude, like the chase scene when Spike and his dad are coming back, you know, after being chased, and they're going through the water because, you know, the water has to, you know, of course.
Yeah, the tide rises, yeah. And then it basically, it just
shows the bridge, yeah, the land bridge. And he's just, like, chopping through it. Like, it's not even affecting him. That was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, even before that, with that particular alpha, he's, like, stalking them. He's, like, just waiting because he knows. Like, he can almost plan their moves. Like, he knows they're going to run from the shelter.
Yeah.
He knows something's going to happen to the shelter. And it wasn't really quite said, but, like, that stampede, I don't know if he didn't do something to spook the herd.
Oh, he had to
make them
stampede
so that the whole structure would
fall. Well, it had
down.
To be, because remember in the first one, the rats are running from the infected.
Yeah, the second one too. Remember when they're in the tunnel?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had to have spooked them.
So they're becoming like cognizant. They're like realizing they're becoming forward thinkers. They're evolving.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, because their minds at first when they're infected in the first movies, they're pretty much just wanting to, like, rage out on everything. Just kill, eat, and that's it. Where now it's like there's a hierarchy within these little groups of infected. You know, you got the little tiny ones that are runners. And then you got, like, the...
You've got, like, sluggish grunts.
The crawlers,
like,
The slow ones that just go around eating worms.
Worms and
bugs,
slugs,
Stuff like that.
Bottom feeders.
Yeah, pretty much. The bottom feeders of
the tilapia of the rage world.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, man, this movie was good. I saw a lot of negative reviews too, of like just people not liking the naked scenes and stuff like that. I get, but at the same time, it's like, well, they're not gonna have like a loincloth. They're, you know, they're infected. They don't care about.
Yeah,
their clothing. They don't care about stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're not like in none of the movies before did you see them like brushing their teeth, combing their hair. Like, it's not a shock, okay? Like, it's, you know, it's been years that basically the rage virus has been, you know, permeating and building.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, you know, well, we're a civilized infected race.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if you haven't seen it, if you don't care about spoilers, so a group of survivors of the rage virus, you know, this is 28 years later, and now they are kind of isolated on a small island where they live out, and pretty much they like teach, you know, it's just like, you know, hunters, gatherers, you know, people working, having different roles in this community, being very sparse with their resources and stuff like that. Like, they have a little shelter of like equipment, and pretty much like only take it if you need it. Like, don't take it just because you want it. Like, you're not. Yeah, that's what it's been reduced to now, and it's being like patrolled. Like, this island is being patrolled now by governments, so that way the infection doesn't spread, or that way, like, you know, the mainland is being patrolled, so that way the infection doesn't spread. Now, I remember that, like, in the first movie, it, like, spread to New York and Paris and stuff like that, where, you know, broadcast stopped, no connection to the outside world anymore. So that's where I was like, okay, so now it's just isolated to, you know, this part of the world, or is it still out? But then you get introduced when Spike, the main character, finds out his dad is cheating on his mom, and his mom is like ill, like horribly ill. So he's like, you know what, screw this, we're gonna leave to the mainland, where pretty much they won't go look for him because it's a risk, you know. So Like, every now and then, like, the survivors of this island will go out.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Get resources or do whatever.
They'll forage.
Forage and stuff like that.
That's how Spike gets introduced to the mainland, is basically, it's kind of like his coming of age tale.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's 12 and his dad kind of sponsors him and says, hey, you know, I've been raising him as a hunter for, you know, since he was a lad.
Yeah.
So we're going to go over and basically he's going to go on his first hunt.
Yeah.
So his dad takes him over, and that's how he gets his first taste of the mainland.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. It's lush, overrun with greenery and animals.
That was one thing that was sad about the movie, is there are two scenes in the movie that actually show the Sycamore Gap.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're familiar with the Sycamore Gap, basically, it was a 150-year-old sycamore tree that grew in a grove, and it was huge. It was used in tons of films. Probably most notably Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Prince of Thieves, and it was a giant sycamore, and two drunkies went out one night and fell the tree. They cut it down in like an hour and a half. It was like in 2023 or something. And so basically, the two shots of the tree are the Sycamore Gap still in its full lush beauty.
Yeah.
And then you look at it, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of like, it's very telling of the movie also, because you're watching this beautiful landscape, but it's all fallen prey to, you know, this rage.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fitting, but so yeah, they go over there and they're obviously looking, you know, he's getting his hunts, he's getting his kills in.
Yeah.
You know, mainly like the little bug eating slug ones.
Oh, one thing you do see on all the, there's like graffiti on the walls, and it's like, you know.
Well, because the introduction of the movie, the beginning of the movie.
I totally forgot about the introduction.
You skipped over the whole church scene. So there's like this.
It's the beginning of the infection.
Yeah, it's like a Mennonite village, kind of. It's a very Orthodox community.
Yeah.
And
I want to say Mennonite. They're watching Teletubbies.
I don't know, man. You know? Tinky Winky, baby. Tinky Winky. So they've got the kids all hidden in a room.
Yeah.
And obviously, when the infection breaks out, the house gets raided.
Well, I'm just glad they kept with the times. Like, they had the big old TV. They're watching Teletubbies.
Yeah, big old tube TV.
Yeah.
27 kids in one room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I liked. But I think they knew the infection was going on. That's why they had all the kids there. It could have been like they were having, like, you know, refuge there, trying to stay safe.
Like a storm shelter.
Yeah, kind of like that. Unfortunately, you know, the infected.
That
didn't work. Yeah. So this little boy, Jimmy, he gets chased out, you know, because everybody's getting eaten inside. What was crazy, and they didn't show, obviously, the kills, but where he's in the room with the kids and he hides behind the door, and the infected just go in and just
slaughter
all the kids.
All of his sisters, they're done. And so he runs, he escapes, and he runs. His father is, I would say, like a priest, the leader of the community.
Yeah.
And so he runs towards his father, and his father, you know.
Or it could just be the father. No, it was Jimmy's father.
It was Jimmy's father.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, pretty much like the Lord is nigh, kind of, you know.
The end is nigh, yeah.
Yeah, this is meant to be, you know, like, we're going to die, but we're going to be, like, in the Lord's arms.
See, I thought that was going to be the beginning shot of when Jim wakes up and he's like, and then see, that's what I thought, is because in the first movie, his name is Jim.
Yeah.
And he's at the church, and that's when he gets introduced to the infected, when the priest is, you know, trying to, you know, get at him, and he gets chased out. I thought that was going to be, but that church is set in more of a, like, city.
Modern cathedral, yeah.
Yeah, whereas this one is, like, out in the countryside.
The church from sinners.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But that's what I thought. And you keep seeing his name being popped up. Is, you know, was it Long Live Jimmy or something like that?
Oh, yeah. There's, like, Jimmy graffiti everywhere.
Yeah, well, they go... him Spike and his dad, when they're in the mainland, they go into this house and they find, you know, they've already killed some crawlers, stuff like that, and they find, you know, someone hung upside down with a bag over their head and Jimmy carved into the stomach. Again, I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm seeing Jimmy on the wall. I'm seeing, like, these graffiti. I'm like, oh, this must be...
Jimmy,
like, this must be Jim from the first movie. Like, maybe he has, like, a following now. You know, he's older. He's got, like, you know, he's doing pretty good for himself. But it's not that. Nope. It's not that at all. But it was high hopes for me. You know, movie was still good either way. Until the end for me. A lot of people didn't, you know.
I think the end was kind of disconnected.
Yeah. From,
And I understand what they're doing because,
yeah.
You know, as I read more about, you know, doing a deeper dive into the movie.
Yeah.
This is part one in what is to be a trilogy.
Yes.
So you have this one, you have the Bone Temple, which comes out in January of next year. And then the third one has yet to be announced.
Yeah.
But they're tying these. This one has nothing. I mean, obviously the virus.
Yes.
But beyond the infection, it has nothing to do with the previous two. It's just different parts of the world, and you're kind of seeing, you know, things played out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay,
so
yeah.
So it doesn't all tie together. The end, oh, trust me, we'll get to that.
Yeah, but we'll talk about the camera work, man. It had the same feeling as the first ones. It had the same vibe. The night shots where they're, like, in the woods, like, eating a deer, and the alpha pulls off the head of the deer. I'm like, dude, this is, like, it's still grainy. It's still, like... You know, it has that very...
That red night vision camera.
Yeah.
Pixelation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's done very well.
There are some shots in there where it shows, like, kind of like... How do I say it? Like, it's supposed to show, like... I don't know how to say it. Like, they're inserted shots of, like... Well, there's some of, like, you know, old World War II propaganda and stuff like that. And then there's shots from, like, that are black and white shots... and they're actually from the first movie of when the infection started and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. Like, they still added, like, hey, you know, we know what happened, but just to remind you, like, you know, some shit went down.
Yeah.
And this is how we got here. But yeah, dude, it had a good feeling. But it's cool to see, like, how the infected evolved and how they're still kind of, like, conscious, obviously, because they're not dead, but... Just how they're evolving. You know, you have, like you said, you have the bottom feeders, and then you have the regular runners.
Yeah, it's becoming like a caste system.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, Jimmy and his dad come across. So they get chased back to, basically, back to their homestead.
Yeah.
By this alpha. They go across the bridge, the alpha chases them.
Yeah.
And they just smoke the living hell out of this alpha.
Yeah.
When he gets to, which is kind of crazy, because they're not supposed to cross at night.
Yeah.
They're only supposed to cross when the tide is low.
Yeah. And the tide was low enough.
It was low enough to, I mean, they didn't really have a choice at that point. At that point. Alpha was booking.
Dude, it was so cool, though. And I'm just like, come on, man. You got to make it.
So they get back, and obviously, you know, there's a hero's welcome.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, man, you know.
And dad is like, you know,
oh,
kind of.
Dad is hyping him up. Dad is like a used car salesman.
Yeah.
So dad is like, oh, Spike killed 140,000 of them, and he ate their eyeballs. And Spike's like, Dad, you're full of crap. And he's like, nah, son, you're amazing. You don't understand.
He goes, I missed every show. He's like, oh, you're just being humble.
Yeah, which he will. I mean, he was taking out kneecaps. So, I mean, he could have worked for the local PD or something. But yeah. So, you know, they're having this big party, and, you know, as we kind of stated earlier, Spike's mom is ill, but nobody really knows what is wrong with her.
Yeah, they don't know what's wrong, because this is 28 years later. Obviously, there's no doctors anymore. You know, everybody's died from the infection or just died of just taking themselves out, pretty much, I'm assuming, because that's what happened.
No matter what's on your plate or your mind this holiday season, the UPS store wants to help. With our pack and ship guarantee, we're helping gifts arrive safely to guarantee more.
They know me so well. Picture perfect gifts.
We're helping guarantee more smiles with our pack and ship guarantee. If we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Stop by your local the UPS store for holiday help shipping holiday gifts.
Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details.
First movie, a lot of them. Yeah. Just like, dude.
Suicide, yeah. You don't want to live with that. Like, remember Jim's parents.
Yeah.
They killed themselves because...
Yeah. No. Yeah, because they were like, dude, our sons...
It's either that or be freaking infected. Yeah, our son's in, like, some comatose state. Yeah. And...
Might as well just go out, you know, with a bang. But, yeah, so there's no doctors anymore. So pretty much you just have your basic workers, hunters-gatherers, workmen, blacksmiths, stuff like that. Like, in an old, like, medieval, like, town, pretty much. And, well, one thing I was like, I'm glad the dad didn't die. But yeah, back to the mom. Yeah, she's sick, and they don't know what's wrong with her.
Yeah, she's having bouts of fever. She's having all this stuff.
She's having, like, flashbacks, gets confused, stuff like that. But she's bedridden.
Spike's her dad, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she thinks Spike's her dad, her son.
Yeah, telling, it's almost like Alzheimer's-ish.
Yeah.
Because she keeps telling Spike, she keeps having these flashbacks of her dad when she was a little girl.
Yeah.
And... she's telling Spike, kind of like Spike is her dad.
Yeah.
And so Spike's like, man, when they were trapped in the building, they saw a fire coming from the northwest.
Yeah.
And so he asked his dad, what is that? And his dad's like, oh, that's, whatever the hell the guy's name was, Dr. Caligari or whatever.
Yeah.
And.
Well, so, at first he doesn't tell him.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, that's probably some crazy person out there. You don't want to go over there.
Yeah, the Northerners.
Yeah, until... back home during the celebration, he gets his first drink of alcohol. Spike does, because he just went out, he just killed a bunch of infected. Like,
absolutely, and his dad's hyping him up. So, he's Ford Fairlane, he's got chicks all around him.
Oh, and his dad, his dad gets.
Yeah, so his dad basically, Spike's obviously very close to his mother. So his dad meets up with one of the young women in the.
And it sucks, man, because. What the father did was wrong. Short terms, his son, Spike, went out to go throw up because he, obviously he's not used to alcohol.
Yeah.
Went to go, puke his guts out, and then he sees his father with another woman.
Rosie, yeah.
Yeah, Rosie, yeah. Was that her name?
Her name was Rosie, yeah.
Yeah, and so he sees them fornicate with each other. He doesn't see, kissing. No, he sees,
Yeah, dad basically, he practices the cunnilingus.
Yeah,
so.
He's a good man. And...
He's very thoughtful. He's a kind and generous lover.
Yes. But, of course, Spike sees that, and after having, it's crazy because he has this wonderful bonding moment with his father, killing the infected, learning about the mainland, stuff like that, having these, events happen that draws him closer to his dad, only to have this one moment kind of change the way he looks at his father.
But I think that's also, obviously, it's all comparison. It's all how you look at things.
Yeah.
But I also think it was Spike going out to the mainland, becoming the hunter, becoming the man of the family.
Yeah.
And then coming home and kind of seeing where his father, his father isn't doing everything he could be doing for the mother.
Yeah.
His father, yes, he cooks. Yeah, he makes breakfast in the morning. But he seems, perturbed by her the whole time. It's just she's,
Well, it's one of those things where, at this point in time, like I said, there's no doctors.
Yeah.
Right? They know of a doctor, but from what they've seen, they think he's
a nut job.
He's a nut job. Spike's grandfather, after Spike, goes home after seeing his dad with...
to go take care of his mom.
Yeah. He goes home. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to the party.
You go.
Yeah, you go. He tells his grandpa to go. But first he asks his grandfather about the fire that he saw, and he's like, he's a GP, a general practitioner. He's a doctor. And he's like, he's a doctor, so, you're saying that there's somebody that can actually help? And he goes, yeah, but, he's just, there's some people out there that, are crazy, because there's people that survive in the mainland, but they're psychos.
Dr. Satan was a doctor.
So... he's like, okay. He goes, so there's hope. And that's when he gets in his mind. He goes, you know what? I think I'm taking my mom. I'm leaving this place, and we're going to go find that doctor. I mean, if there's hope, it doesn't hurt to try.
Yeah.
Right? But in the morning, he's like, he's giving his father the cold shoulder, and he tells his father to leave the mom alone. And when he asks him about the doctor, finally, not in front of the mom, but asks him about the doctor – That's when he tells the story of, you know, when they first went into the mainland and they found the doctor, and there was like tons of bodies lying around in rows, very methodical, very like perfect. And he was throwing them into a fire, pretty much. And that's when they knew, like, hey, we're not.
Or there's something wrong with this guy.
He waved at them to come down, and he was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, this is, he's trying to trap us, stuff like that. And I get it. You know, with the world going crazy, you would think that there's, like.
Yeah, somebody's just out in a field burning bodies. Like, not just, like, you know, 10 or 12, you know.
No, there was, like, hundreds of bodies. Bigger
dozen. No, he's, like, you know, he's got a large-scale operation.
Yeah.
And you do see in the movie what he's doing with the bodies.
Yeah, so. What's crazy is, like, dude, this guy is so crazy that even the infected won't touch him. But
he's got tricks.
Yeah, but Spike's like, no, I'm gonna take my mom. We're gonna go and we're gonna leave, you know, because my dad's a cheater. He's a liar. Now I get, but one thing I will, again, I'm not saying the father should have cheated. I'm not saying that at all. He should not have cheated. But also, I do understand when you're at a position of like, look, I'm not getting any loving from my wife. There's no, because she's sick. And I get that. And he still loves her. It's just like, dude, I'm not getting any affection anymore. Like, a man has needs just as much as, you know, yeah. She does. Of course, she's sick. He's not going to go and be like, hey, you want to.
What you up to?
You want to play with my alpha?
You know, ain't no fever dream, baby.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, you know, if you're not getting something at home, you're going to find it somewhere else.
Well, also, he was probably all hyped up off the Mountain Dew, right? They just got back. Yeah. He's hyped, right? Like, he's drinking. Yeah. He's like king.
He's feeling like an alpha.
Absolutely. He's wandering around with no pants on, you know, whatever. But, yeah, he's probably feeling, you know, he's feeling like he can't really, like, go home and wake up his wife and be like, hey, stop having that fever dream. Like,
yeah.
Listen, look at me. So I do understand where that comes from.
Yes.
But.
Yes.
The part about it is it's in front of the kid.
Yeah. Well, he didn't know. Yes.
Well,
but,
okay.
Yeah.
He didn't know that part. But, dude, it wasn't like he was hiding it from anyone.
No, he was not hiding it from
anyone.
He
was very out and blatant. He wasn't like DMing somebody, hitting somebody up like, yo, meet me underneath the bridge or the jetty at like 5 a.m. He wasn't doing none of that. Yeah. It was like 10 o'clock. He's straight cold macking.
Yeah. And it could be one of those things where the townspeople probably knew.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
And they were just like.
Everybody was watching him as they ran out. I'm sure everybody was just like, dude, well, his wife's sick, you know. So he's got to go and like, bang out to Rosie under the counter. Oh, look at poor little Spike. Give him a drink. And like, yeah. It probably didn't help Spike to begin with. The fact
he
had a traumatic experience. Then you feed him alcohol for the first time. And then rather than being like, hey, I'm a beer for my son, I technically got him drunk. It's my fault that he's feeling all, like, you know, drunk and messed up.
Yeah.
He's probably got emotions going through him. Oh, let me go out and try and, like, smash my side piece. No.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't do that.
Yeah.
At least you got to be there for the kid.
Yeah, you have to be there for the kid, and then you get your...
But he was.
But it was his moment, dude, so why are you going to go do that right now?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, dude, if she was that ding...
Again, like I said, I don't condone cheating. I understand where the father is coming from that aspect. But at the same time, dude.
Have some modesty.
Yeah, like, it's your kid's day.
If she's catching vapors, then you're like I said, you're like, hey, listen, what you doing about 5 a.m., girl? Listen, I get up to make breakfast for the family. Wife's sleeping. Spike's sleeping. Dude, let's go smash this out. Do whatever. Understandable. Yeah. But right in the middle of the party, like, dude, put it out like that, and then just run out, and then just be like, yeah, Spike. No.
So I don't understand where Spike's going to come. Fuck you. I'm taking my mom. We're going to the mainland. We're going to find this psycho as doctor, and two things are either going to happen. Either we're going to get killed by him, or, you know, he actually is a doctor.
And he can help mom.
And he can help me. Or three things happen. We can get killed by the infected, and then, or get killed by the doctor, or he helps us out. So, but yeah, I mean.
So he packs up mom, and they basically, you know. He does a distraction. He lights a fire.
Yeah.
And then goes up to basically the watchman on the Citadel and is like, oh, hey, they said they need every able-bodied man to help put out the fire.
Oh, yeah. He lit fire to the... Because he was mad at the town. Yeah. Because he was like, dude, y'all are all liars. Like, you know, there's nothing bad. There's nothing this and that. Like, pretty much he was mad at them probably because they were just scared.
Yeah.
Everybody in that town was just living scared.
Well, they were putting blinders on. They're like, oh, let's go on like we're resetting a society. where, you know, we're going through it. We're hunters and gatherers and we're this and we're that. But in all reality, you're just hiding out.
Yeah.
You're just living in a closet. Your house is like on fire and you're living in the closet. And you want to act like there's nothing going on out in the rest of the house.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. They acted and, like there was nothing going on.
They teach, don't get me wrong, they teach the kids about the infected and how to fight them off. But it's like, dude, there was more to the world than that. What would happen to get being reacclimated to society, trying to be, you know, a citizen again, like an actual person in this world? Instead, you're just going to hide out on this island and just like, you know, we've lived here so long and now it's just going to stay like this.
Yeah, like an ostrich with your head in the sand.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. And so Spike goes out. They hide in a freaking church. And was it one of those crawlers comes by when he was going to keep watch and have the mom sleep. And he's young. He falls asleep. Freaking crawler thinks his shoelace is a worm.
Yeah, it's a worm.
But he wakes up in the morning and him and his mom are like, you know, he's like moved and he's like, what happened? Mom's like, oh, I don't know. And it's like a flashback to the night before. She like beats the
shit. Yeah, she beats the hell out of this like creepy crawler. She chokes it out. Yeah,
she tarps it in the face.
Yeah, she tarps its head and then just chokes it, smothers it to death.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I don't know. Like, it's just something happened.
And so then they're going and they're trying to make it to the doctor. And they run into a petrol station.
And oh, yeah. That's when, like, the gases and stuff that
pretty much
up
all
in there.
The gases have built up. They're trying to hide in the petrol station, but
from the infected, yeah.
Yeah. So there's gas and everything in there. And they get saved by a soldier by the name of Eric.
Yeah, who watched his whole squad die in the tunnel.
Yeah. He's
by
very,
an alpha.
He's very Thanos from Squid Games. Very, like, pretty boy.
Yeah, he's a douche.
Yeah, totally. Like, so
it's like he gets infected that he'll be a Viking or something.
Yeah, he's got visions of Valhalla going on in his head.
Yeah, I mean, he is Swedish. He's from the Swedish.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you know, he saves their lives, and so now they're kind of, you know, the two become three.
Yeah, but he's like finding out that, you know, how isolated, you know, Spike is. You know, he doesn't know what an iPhone is.
Oh, yeah, he's showing him everything. He shows him his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's, like, this, like, model chick, like an Instagram model.
Who's, like, has lip fillers,
cheek
fillers.
Oh, yeah, she has, like, yeah, she's got, like, the Botox on her lips. And Spike's like, yeah, there's a girl like that in where I come from.
Yeah, she has a sickness, an illness.
She's allergic.
Yeah.
And,
oh, she gets allergic to shellfish.
She's allergic to shellfish, and when she eats a shellfish, her lips blow up like that. And, like, Eric is, like, pissed. He's like, dude, she's, like, a banging supermodel. Like, the hell's wrong with you?
No, she was
not. And Spike's just like, nah, man, that chick has problems. And so, you know, there's just a cultural difference.
Yeah, which is crazy because, like, so pretty much, Eric has how he talks about how he ended up in the mainland is that, you know, his boat sank, they floated out, and unfortunately the current took him into the mainland, and it's being controlled by different governments, and once you land on the mainland, no one can go after you.
Yep.
That's it. Like
they write you off.
Yeah, you are dead. It doesn't matter if you have a phone and you can call them, like, hey, I'm right here. They're like, no, you set foot on the mainland, you aren't coming off. Like,
yeah, because the possibility of infection, obviously.
Yeah. So what it's telling me pretty much is that the infection did spread to these cities, and it's most likely that they did contain it. You know, they probably killed off some of the people. Like, hey, no, like, look, we're going to contain it to this area, so let's blow these people back. I mean, they had, the bombing in the second one?
Yeah.
So they probably did, you know, contained it as much as they could, and then, like, all right, cool. Now we, you know, contain it to this giant island, pretty much is, you know, what it is. Now we're going to patrol it and make sure nobody leaves.
It's like Alcatraz.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's what it's telling me. And I'm thinking, you know, he's from Sweden. You know, it's not touched by, you know, much land. So they're probably good, you know, to kind of patrol and stuff like that. And he's the unlucky one. He's the unlucky Viking.
Yeah. So the Viking, you know, they're making their way across. And this is when you're introduced there. They're seeing all these, like, infected.
Yeah.
And you see a female infected, and she's wearing, like, a nightdress. And you could tell she's with child.
Yeah, she's pregnant.
And it's like, wow. Like, there are pregnant infected, which is like another evolutionary trait.
And mind you, this is not like 28 days, 28 weeks. This is 28 years. So that means she was bred by another infected.
Yeah, which was probably the alpha.
Yeah, most likely the alpha. Well,
because the way that the alpha comes for her would make me think that basically, like, that was one of his concubines, one of his stable.
Yeah.
So she's walking around. So they're walking, and they find an old train.
Yeah.
That's all, like, it's undergrowth and everything. And they hear what screaming, sounds like. Yeah, it sounds like crying. So the mom, obviously, she still has fits of fancy where, you know, her mind flutters. I mean, Eric's been carrying her for, like, 3 hours. And so she just hops down, and Eric's like, you dick.
You can walk.
Tell me your mom could walk. And then she, like, runs into the train when she hears the screaming.
Yeah.
And she runs over, and you see the pregnant, infected woman.
Yeah, she's, like, giving birth.
Yeah. She's in, like, and so the mom helps deliver the baby.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, the mom and the baby are bonding, and she goes to hand the baby to the infected woman.
Yeah.
And Eric basically lays like 13 rounds into the mother.
The mother.
And
the infected mother,
not the infected mother. Not Spike's mother.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, that alerts the alpha.
Yeah. Well, he wanted them to drop the baby and he was going to kill it.
Yeah.
But the baby wasn't infected. You could tell it wasn't infected.
By the eyes.
Yeah. And so she's like, look, it's not infected. There's nothing wrong. And he was like, no, like, you need to drop that baby. Like, we're going to, you know, we're going to end this now.
Yeah.
It's already weird enough. It was kind of weird, but.
Well, it's just like, you know, it's just like in part two when the people who have the genetic abnormality.
Yeah.
Where one eye's blue and one eye's brown. They keep getting bit, but they're not infected.
Yeah.
I don't care, man. If I've been around people that are getting bit and they're constantly infected and you get bit and you're like, oh, look, my eyes.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
They're different colors, like David Bowie. Dude, you're going down, bro. I don't care. Listen here, man. Ziggy Stardust.
But yeah. It was weird because, like, she puts out her hands. She holds the infected one. Because remember, they're not dead. I keep forgetting that, too, sometimes. When we're watching the movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're not dead. They still have somewhat of a conscience in there. They're just infected with rage.
Yeah.
And right now, she's more mad at, like, the baby being in her than, you know, she would be about anybody around her. So, yeah, she, like, holds her hands and she pushes the baby out. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. What I thought initially was the mom was, like, mutated, where she is infected, but she's, like, on a different, like, kind of like the second one.
Like a different strain.
Yeah, like a different strain. That's why she's having these headaches, these flashbacks and stuff. Like, she's on a different, like, it did something else to her. But that wasn't the case, unfortunately.
Nope.
But yeah, so the alpha grabs,
you know, Eric.
He grabs Eric and these alphas, their number one trademark thing to do, I'm assuming it's kind of like marking territories. So that way, other kind of like a wolf pack, you know, wolf packs will kind of live in certain areas. They will never integrate with each other sometimes, but they'll always be like around each other, but they have their territory.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Well, what their trademark thing to do is to rip the head off with the spine and place it somewhere or hold it or keep it like a trophy pretty much.
I just thought that it was Kano from Mortal Kombat. it just got infected.
Or that too.
I think further up north, it's Sub-Zero's territory.
Yeah, but Eric gets his head ripped off. The Alpha sees that his, you know, his woman has been killed, so he sees the mom and Spike, and so he starts running after them. And they run out to the middle of the field, but before the Alpha can get them, he gets hit in the neck with a dart by the Doctor. Doctor's like all oranged up. He looks like the dude from freaking Sin City.
Yeah.
But he's all oranged up, and he has iodine on him and stuff like that.
Because through his experiments, he's found out that the infected hate the taste of iodine.
Yeah.
So when they go to bite him and turn him, they get the taste of iodine, and it repels them.
Yeah.
So...
And so, yeah, so he hits him in the neck with, morphine and something else.
Yeah.
Pretty much a tranquilizer, and it knocks him out. Again, because they're not dead.
Doesn't even knock him out. The weird part is he just, it's like a fentanyl nod. It's like Kensington, Philadelphia, where they just, nod out and just, stand there.
Yeah.
You know, it's very Mortal Kombat, right before the finishing move. Oh, yeah. When they just sway back and forth and they stand upright. It's exactly what it is. Because I kept waiting for the Alpha. I thought the Alpha was going to, tumble like a tree.
Yeah.
But no. He just stood there.
Yeah.
The whole time he was like zonked.
Yeah, and the Doctor took the head from, because the Alpha still had Eric's head.
Yeah, he had Eric's head in his hand. So
the Doctor took it, and they go back to his pretty much where he lives, and it's a giant boneyard, pretty much. And it's very pretty.
Yeah, it's just giant stupas basically built out of skulls and he's got little, wood cross beams.
Yeah.
It's actually, very architecturally correct.
Yeah.
Which I was like, I mean, because, you see the poster, and it kind of looks like it's just, haphazardly thrown together. It's a bunch of skulls just stacked. And you're like, what's keeping them? But, yeah, he's actually, taking little pieces of wood and stuck them in there so that there's little podiums for each skull.
Yeah.
And he gives them reverence. And then it ties back to, now you know what he was doing in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. So what he was doing is all the dead people he was gathering. And he was pretty much using their bones to kind of leave,
Memento mori.
Yeah. Pretty much
How people stack stones when they go places and they'll stack stones. He was doing that in remembrance of the dead.
Yeah, and pretty much he was saying every skull had a story. They spoke, they thought, they saw everything. So this is pretty much a tribute to them. This is their resting place. For all the people who died, whether they were infected and died, being killed, or they died from the infected, stuff like that. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
And the fact that what I thought was kind of cool about it, going back to what was going on, was it showed kind of what you've been referencing, the fact that they're infected. They're still people.
Yeah.
It's just somebody who has cancer, essentially. Yeah. It's what it is. They don't become cancer.
Yeah.
They're still Tim. They're still whoever.
But there's also hope, because they can also be exterminated now.
Yeah.
Because you see, the baby was fine, wasn't infected, because the placenta protected it from the infection. Crazy how, I don't know if it'll go to that extent.
Yeah. The embryonic sac that's around the baby protected the bloodstream from being tainted.
Yeah. And so that's why the baby wasn't infected. Healthy baby, it was kind of hungry, but yeah, it was perfect. So, I hope nobody tries, in the second movie, no one tries to breed with an infect that would be pretty cool though. Dude. Some Walking Dead crap, they're there's a tribe in the mainland that believes in breeding with the infected and thinking that they're going to be super babies or something. That's just a wild thought that I have. The producers aren't gonna call me up and be like, "Hey man, we just heard the episode.
We heard you want some infected rabbit babies. You want two infected, one cup? I got you, man. We shooting this tonight,
dude. When desperation comes, when people are like,
no, it's not desperation, bro. people with some strange kinks.
Yes.
Okay. Trust me, if there was a whole video made, now we've been to enough Frightmare Weekends to comment on this, okay? Trust me, if I made a video of four infected with a normie, I could probably sell a million copies next May.
You most likely could, man. Yep. Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway, off topic, but yeah. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, the baby's not infected, so. But pretty much, the doctor, Spike asked the doctor, hey, my mom's very sick. This is what's going on with her. Can you help her out? And so he's like, yeah. He goes, I don't have, obviously, my stuff to, run a scan or stuff like that. So he does, just basic stuff. Observation, you know, checking her breast, you know, under her arms.
Her lymph nodes.
Yeah, her lymph nodes, stuff like that. And he says, well, you know, I don't have my equipment, but, you know, any equipment to diagnose you, to properly diagnose you, but from what I, the information that I've gathered, you have cancer. Like, that's why you've been pretty much having these, you know, he either said that it was either in the brain and spread to her body or in the body and spread to her brain.
Yeah.
But yeah, that she doesn't have very long to live. Now, of course, remember Spike, they didn't teach these kids any of those illnesses. They only taught them like the infected, the rage infection. That's it. And like maybe the flu and allergies and stuff like that.
Yeah, but living on the island,
you would
gotta
think.
I mean, he's 12 years old. There have to be elderly. There have to be generational.
Yeah.
Like gatherings. You have to see like your grandpa at 12 years old. Like, shoot, well, I was a little bit older when I lost my first grandparent. But people that I knew, my cousin died when I was like 8 years old.
Yeah, that they had cancer and stuff like that.
Like, yeah, he had, you know, he passed from, you know, from HIV, but
yeah.
Like, I knew these things. I knew people, you know, they weren't eternal.
Yeah. But, like, well, he knew that
people, yeah.
I think he just didn't know what cancer was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, he wouldn't know because they probably didn't teach him, you know, they pretty just much just wanted a working structure. They didn't want to teach people, like,
yeah,
stuff like that.
They probably went very, like, very orthodox. They probably went, like, by the teachings of the Bible and probably the founder of the community.
Yeah, most they likely, probably, yeah. You know, and so, yeah, he was like, no, he goes, there's got to be a cure. We can go to the hospital, like a nearby hospital, and try to, like, scavenge for medicine and stuff. He's trying to explain to him, like, no, there's no cure. Even before the infection, there was no cure. So she's going to die. So his mom is like, well, you know what? I'm not going to go out on anybody else's terms but my own. So they sedate him, pretty much. They sedate Spike so he doesn't, like,
fight them.
Yeah, freak out or fight them. And she, you know, tells the doctor, you know, can you euthanize me pretty much? Like, can you take me out? She does. And, like, right away he takes her body to
the, oh, yeah. She was hard-boiled in, like, 3 minutes.
Dude, okay. I would have been like, hey, look, your mom, I placed her nicely.
Exactly. I would have covered her.
Down,
yeah.
Maybe gave her, like, a flower or something to hold. Laid her down in the grass next to the bone structure. But he's like, all right, let's just go ahead and dump her into
it.
Because he has, like, this system where it's, like, pretty much just, like, you know, it brings it all down to the bone.
Oh, yeah, know? He's got a giant steam.
Yeah.
He's got a giant, like, steam canister that basically he boils water in, and then he throws you in so that it basically eats all the flesh off. He gets some clean bones.
Yeah,
like, this man knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've seen some taxidermy stuff, and this guy is clean.
Yeah.
Like, and he's quick.
Yeah, he immediately he throws her into the little canister and boils her up and goes up to Spike and hands her the skull and is like, hey, you know, where are you going to put your mom? Find her a final resting place. So, of course, he puts her at the very top spot facing the sunrise, and that's where she's going to spend eternity. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. I like that. That's pretty cool. But you could have given him time to be like...
Nope. No time for mourning. None.
Hey, here's your mom's skull.
There you go. She wanted you to have this. It's your inheritance. Got that and an old pair of shoes over there in the corner. Make it happen. So Spike climbs down, and he's basically, you know...
I'm sorry.
You know, he's conversing with the doctor.
Yeah.
And the alpha basically springs back from its dormant slumber.
Of course, yeah.
And they go and they hide in this kind of like little underground.
Yeah, because he wanted to stay in the mainland, but the doctor told him, like, hey, it's time for you to go back.
Go back, yeah. There's nothing for you out here.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the doctor re-sedates the alpha.
Yeah. Well, no, Spike sedates him because
he
had grabbed the doctor.
Him. Yeah.
And luckily, Spike reacted quick enough and sedated him. But
so then Spike, you know, he basically takes the baby and kind of does a baby Moses. You know, he writes, like, the world's biggest F.U. letter to his dad. You know, yeah, you're right, proper shite. Mom died.
Well, no, he tells him that he loves him and that not to worry about him, though.
I love you, but, you know, you hurt me, Mom, and I had to put her head way up on that thing, and Oh, yeah.
I don't think he was Irish.
He was Irish. Don't worry about this. And so they go through, and they go back. No. So then they go through, and he goes back, and he drops off, like, you know, basically like the little Moses basket.
Yeah, it's in the basket.
You know, I hate you, Dad. You know, I love you, but I can't be around you.
Yeah.
Like, I just got to do my own thing. I'm going to stay out here on the mainland.
Yeah.
So the dad is, like, spazzing out.
Yeah.
Because he hears that there's somebody at the gate. Like, because obviously they're calling out, and they're like, you know, they see the basket. So he's like, oh, man, maybe it's Spike. So he, like, freaks out, and he wakes up, and he runs down to the gate, like, to see if Spike's there and greet him back in with open arms.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, it's just, you know, the letter telling him that, you know, he wants to stay on the mainland.
Yeah.
And it's the baby in a basket.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah. They absorb the baby into the community, and, you know, the dad obviously is heartbroken at the fact that Spike's not coming back home. So then we go through, and you know, you go back. And Spike's on the mainland.
Yeah, he's living.
And, man, he's got a quiver full of arrows now because they had an arrow shortage or something. Because, yeah. Like, every time you see him fighting, they've only got, like, 8 arrows.
Yeah.
But, man.
Like, all they're doing is sitting around just making weapons, building stuff. Like, you would think that
they have some big old quivers of arrows. Yeah. Well, and on top of that, I'm sorry, but an arrow's an arrow. If I go through you, if I, like, shoot one into your head, and then you go down, I'm taking the arrow back out.
Yeah.
It's not a bullet. I don't have to sit there and repack the shell with gunpowder. I can just go through and pull the arrow out and reuse it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as sharp as it was the first time. But you know what? For one of those slug form ones on the ground,
yeah.
I could take you out with a dull stick all day.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there and he's hunting. So he's caught a big fish.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there cooking it. And it's kind of, you know, you're kind of gearing up for the movie to end. You're like,
it's ending like all the other ones. Yeah. Yeah.
It's ending like, you know. And that's one of the things I like about this franchise is they're not hopeful. Nobody's really a hero.
Yeah.
Like, bro, like, Jeremy Renner, oh, you think you're going to survive and make it to the end, Hawkeye? No, you're dead.
Yeah.
You catch on fire, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, they're no respecter of men.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there cooking, and all of a sudden he gets attacked by a pack of
infected. Yeah.
And you see them all coming, and you can tell because it seems like each alpha has an individual band of 5 or 6
yeah.
that go out and do kind of like his bidding for him.
Yeah.
They're like marauders. So with that being said, the 5 or 6 come and you know there's an alpha right behind a tree somewhere.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden.
Well, he got better at shooting. So he's like more confident in his shots. He's hitting things now. But of course he's only has like so much arrows and so far to go.
Well, yeah. And I mean, once you take out like 3, you do have to basically like take it out, pull the bow back and go. Unless you're making ground and running backwards and shooting at the same time.
Yeah.
You're going to lose ground
to
a bunch of skinny marauders running, you know, at like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah. But unfortunately, he comes to where like this avalanche of rocks happened. This rock fall had happened and he has nowhere to go. He's backed up into a corner. He's stuck between
a rock
and infected
and a giant alpha tallywhacker.
Yeah, that's one thing we didn't really talk about. They do have enormous penises.
Yeah, but they're like prosthetics, and it's not like it's like super okay. Most of it, like you said earlier, most of the nudity is like on the night camera where it's like it pixelated. It's not like they're showing like I'm not trying to get too graphic, but like veiny throbbing like
no, they're not
9-foot tallywhackers. No. Okay,
it's just showing you like
yeah. I mean, it just looks like a loaf of bread floating around between somebody's legs. That's all there is to it.
Like
I mean,
the rage infection, like it amped up some of these people, and they're like huge. They're bigger.
Yeah,
they're faster.
Like, it's like Goliath.
Yeah.
They're like larger in stature.
Well, the doctor, you know, the one that he sedated. He called him, what, Solomon?
Samson.
Samson, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You know, the giant, you know, big strength person, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're kind of like Goliath. They're just huge. And so he gets backed up, and you think, okay, it's over. But then.
See, it's where the movie, like, technically, according to how the other ones were. Should have kind of ended. But lo and behold, this one is, like I said, it's a precursor to the Bone Temple, which is coming out in 2026.
I get that, but...
I didn't understand the costumery. I didn't understand any of it, but...
So you get Jimmy.
Here's Jimmy.
And they're dressed up in their track suits.
Yeah. They stole Jonathan Davis's wardrobe truck when Korn was playing.
Korn was touring at the time, and when the infection happened, and they raided their van.
There's a chubby Asian one. I think he stole Fieldy's tracksuit.
You have these blonde...
Oh, yeah. They're all wearing, like, blonde wigs or blonde peroxide.
Or maybe it's their blonde hair.
Jimmy's got the cross that his father gave him, but he's wearing it invertedly.
Yeah, like he gave up on...
Yeah, like he gave up on God. Because
he even says at the beginning when he's a kid, Father, why have you forsaken me? Like, you've left me here, pretty much. So that's why he probably has an inverted cross. That or he just, you know...
That I understand, but then lo and behold, the cherry on the top of the sundae, no pun intended, he's wearing a freaking, like, golden tiara.
Yeah.
And then he introduces himself to Spike.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, my name's Jimmy. Mind if I get in or something? Mind if I join or like cut in?
Yeah.
Kind of like it's a ball. And it's all, if they were fighting normal, but it's like teenage mutant infected turtles.
Remember, before he leaves to the mainland, he has a Power Ranger, right?
Yeah.
That's what he looked up to. I don't know how he knew what a Power Ranger was. That's my thing, is they didn't have television. Unless they had old Power Ranger tapes.
Probably not.
So
maybe his dad just regaled him with stories. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a whole lot to do. Maybe before you're going to bed at night, like, oh, you know, there's these evil people called putties. And they live, you know, and then, like, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And it's Morphin time. And yeah, this
exactly.
Is the, either way, like, I understand the action figure, but again, they don't have TV. How the hell does he know what a Power Ranger is?
But maybe Jimmy had TV, and maybe in all those Teletubby tapes, somebody snuck.
Jimmy, I understand.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, so anyway, so they come out, and they're dressed like, kind of like the Teletubbies, not really the Power Rangers. More.
Yeah.
There's yellow, blue, purple, and then, of course, Jimmy's red. And so, yeah, they just go and they have like this choreographed like
fight routine
against the infected. I mean, they kill them all. They take out the alpha, but that is where the movie kind of lost me.
Yeah,
and I watched a bunch of videos because there was a bunch of videos that were like, oh, the ending explained. Okay, maybe there was something there that I missed. Did I miss something? And it was just pretty much saying, yeah, this was the guy from the first act.
And yeah, like, they just keep telling you about Jimmy. And it's like,
I know it was Jimmy. Yeah. I know that.
He said he was Jimmy.
Yeah.
I've seen his moniker throughout the whole entire movie of him painting on everything, killing people, writing his names on, like, infected that were hanging upside down.
And a lot of people were like, well, remember, he had the Power Ranger. He looked up to the Power Rangers, and these are his Power Rangers. But how would he know what a Power Ranger is if they don't have television over there?
Yeah, don't know what cancer is, but you know what Rita Repulsa is. Like, that, it makes, yeah, it's, like, Jimmy and the older people, yes. And I could understand that maybe if, like, his dad, you know, Jamie, gave him the action figure and explained what a Power Ranger was.
Yeah.
Because my son, he hated Power Rangers. He never watched it. Yeah. So if I tell him about, like, Rita Repulsa or something, he doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Or Zorg. But I know about it, so I could tell him about it.
Yeah.
But they don't reference that at all. It's just an action figure. It could have been any action figure. It could have been, you know, I don't know, any random Miles Morales Spider-Man action figure. And then you're like, see, Miles Morales, I am from the borough of Brooklyn. And then you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So I just didn't get it. I understand it is supposed to be like, obviously, like you said, for the trilogy that's supposed to come up. It's supposed to be like, hey, by the way, he's going to recruit.
Here's my thing. They could have had him cornered at the impasse with the giant boulder. And of course, you know, nobody's going to like, you know, obviously like pick up on my idea and be like, oh my God, you're a genius. But you could have gone into like little flash scenes where he's like cornered and you're like, dude, is Spike going to make it out? And then they show little post-credit scenes where they tie everything, and you can kind of see that Spike makes it out alive with, like, grainy night footage or something. Like, Spike's hiding in the woods or something.
Yeah.
And someone's guiding him out. And then you'd be like, hey, who was that behind him? I didn't see anybody. And that's going to make you hungry.
And then you like show a shot of the cross. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that was Jimmy. Oh,
that was Jimmy. And then you read into it and you're like, dude, was that Jimmy? And then you get all the speculation and then you get people hungry for the sequel.
Yeah.
But when you have like this weird Squid Games, like freaking
Power Rangers. That was my problem. Because like even in the other movies, there's a very seriousness to them. Yeah. Is there like funny moments? Like, in the first movie where they go to the store and they're shopping around, the dad leaves his card on the thing because he doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, yeah, they're trying to find those moments to have fun so that way, you know, they can make it through this apocalypse pretty much. Whereas this one, it was like you have all these serious moments. He has this – this is what bothered me. All right, I'm about to go on a rant. He has this very touching moment with his mom. He finds out his mom has an incurable disease that is – possibly worse than the because all he knows is infection. You know, all he knows is the infected and how they rage out. But this is an infection that you don't see. You can't see it. You can only see the effects of it, you know, happening inside your mom, and she's losing it, and you're slowly losing your mother piece by piece. And then finally he has this, like, pretty much this moment of where he has to realize, like, you know, I he can't accept that his mother's going to die. But then, you know, his mom, like, he has this moment with her, and she chooses to, you know, go out on her own terms. And you have this giant moment where, even though, yes, the doctor didn't give him time with his mom, but, like, he gives her the skull because that's his way of, like, trying to give peace to, or, like, give
it's closure.
A memory to, like, not just his mom, but the people that also passed. And he's like, hey, like, give your mom a final moment. Like, remember to live, too. Like, stuff like that. And he has this giant moment. He places her skull on the top of the mound, and she's facing the sunset, so that way she can always see – or the sunrise, so she can always see the sunrise and stuff like that. And then you have this – so you have this big moment. He decides to go out on his own. He's growing up. He leaves the baby at the camp. His dad breaks down. And then the Power Rangers comes out and it fucking ruins it for me.
Yeah, that was the only thing that I felt like did. It was a disconnect.
Yeah.
It was a blatant disconnect from the rest of the story of the movie.
Yeah.
And like I said, I understand, you know, the movie was already 2 hours long. Maybe you felt like it was getting a little long in the tooth, so you wanted to scale it back. You had a lot to say.
Yeah.
And you didn't really know how to go across about doing it. But like I said, you could have done it in like post-credit.
Yeah.
Snippets to where it would have left a bread trail.
Yeah.
You know, like a breadcrumb trail to where you'd be like, oh man, what was this? I'm watching post credits over and over again. And hey, wait a minute. Look here. I see a side angle of the cross. And, you know,
yeah,
that's what you could have done.
That's other than that, the movie was well shot. The story was really good despite the ending. I think they could have done it differently. That's fine if you want to have wacky people in there. That's cool. But like, my thing is, like, the atmosphere change. And it was just, like, so out of the blue. It was like a Shaun of the Dead shot. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, you had, oh, 28, the 28 series. You, 28 years later, seriousness, darkness, heartbreak, you know, pain. And then you get, like, a Shaun of the Dead scene. And it's like, why? Again, love the movie. I would probably watch it. Most likely we'll watch it again. But, yeah, it's just that end scene. Like, I'll probably end it, like,
yeah,
at the rocks, honestly. And just be like, all right, cool. Like, the movie's over. Like, and we'll just see what happens in the next movies.
Yeah.
That's fine. But, you know, that part, for me, didn't care for it.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie was great, though. Oh, I enjoyed it.
The movie was great, yeah. I can't fault the ending. I was just, I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, I didn't feel the ending. And I mean, some people loved it. Me, didn't really care for it. Like, I felt like, again, we have our own opinions on how they could have done it. They're not going to call us up. Be like, hey, man, by the way, we know.
We heard your podcast. We want you to advise us on the next 3 films.
Yeah, we just review these movies, and y'all like to listen to us rant. But, yeah, that ending, I think it could have been done better or differently or honestly, without it, probably, maybe, and just have like a...
I think you had to have... The whole movie was... The foundation of the movie was Jimmy.
Yeah.
So you had to have Jimmy in it somewhere. I just don't think it needed to come off so slapstick.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it would have been kind of like the Caddyshack gopher popping out, you know, and being like, and then, you know, Kenny Loggins kicks in, and I'm all right, Spike. Don't nobody worry about me.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, it was good, man. I loved it. Like I said, I'll probably watch it again.
Oh, I definitely will.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, like, I revisited the first two before this one.
Yeah. So. And... Yep. Yeah, well, that's our review.
On Hopefully, we didn't spoil it too bad, you know.
You know, yeah. I mean, if you watched it, you know, and you thought the same thing, let us know. And yeah. If you thought differently about the ending, then hey, let us know.
Shoot, if you've got a better idea how to end it, let us know. Drop it in the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a little more piece to say. So, I watched, yes, we watched 28 Years Later, but me and my girl went to go watch Jurassic World Rebirth. And it was good. I liked it. You know, there was some stuff in there that I didn't care for, but it's just, it's a dinosaur movie. It was good. There's mixed reviews. My problem, like, with doing the research for 28 Years Later and then watching Jurassic World and having to see what people had to say about it, you can't satisfy anybody, dude, nowadays. There's always something, especially when doing research with 28 Years Later. It's like, dude, you finally get a good sequel with all this garbage that we've been getting so far. And you're hating on it for what? Little minute things?
Because like, everyone's a critic.
I mean, like, yes, yeah, we're technically, I guess we criticize these movies, but...
We criticize pieces of them. We don't just overall, like, dump on something. Like,
and that's like, that was my problem. A lot of the videos that I was seeing was just people crapping on them. This made no sense. I don't like it. Blah, blah, blah. Well, why don't you like it? Oh, because it sucked. That's not an argument, man. Dude, we're at a area where horror is starting to become more mainstream because there's nothing else that's good coming out. I mean, there are certain action adventure movies that are coming out that have been good. But overall, it's just been like rebooted garbage, live action trash. Like, it's just been stuff like that. And then you get something like 28 years later, 18 years after, you know, or something like Final Destination.
Well, yeah, and the fact of with this movie, like, the creators of this franchise lost all rights to this movie.
Yeah.
They lost all rights to, like, the entire storyline. So they actually acquired and bought their rights back and then decided they were going to make the trilogy from there. That's why you had such a long gap in between.
Yeah.
Because after the second one, they lost the rights to the franchise.
Yeah. But, yeah, dude, like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I was just watching too much social media stuff. And just trying to get inputs from every single angle. But there was just some arguments that were just like, dude, is this rage bait? Like, because, like, your arguments make no sense. Like,
well, yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just like the influencers who go through and, like, just spark raging you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, what that little clown's name, Jack Doherty, whatever his name is. He goes and he picks a fight with you and then his security guard steps in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's kind of like that, yeah.
Little turd muffin. That's what they want to do.
But no, like, some of them were podcasts like us where they talk about movies, they talk about stuff like that. And it was just stuff of like...
I also think you have to know your audience. And I think a lot of the times, like with a podcast even that you and I listen to, because believe it or not, people, we do listen to other podcasts.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I think a lot of times it's just people who go through and... You have to know what movie you're going to see. I am not going to see Toxic Avenger when it comes out and expect a performance like The Godfather. Marlon Brando's not going to hop out of the flipping grave and act out like Don Corleone in the middle.
Exactly. Well, it's just like the Twisted Childhood series that we love.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to love it, and that's fine. We're going to criticize the crap out of it because we didn't like the first one. I mean, it had its like little magic because of like how bad it was, but it was bad. But I don't like it. I'm not going to go rewatch it, but I'll watch the second one.
Yeah.
I'll watch Peter Pan, Neverland Nightmare. I'll watch Bambi when it comes out. But I know not everybody likes it, and that's fine. But I'm not going to be like, yeah, you have to like it. It's a masterpiece. No, it wasn't. They're not.
No.
Like, they're not masterpieces.
And they also didn't come off and expound on it like it was a masterpiece.
Yeah. And that's what I was happy about. And if a movie that we didn't like Tarot... I'm not going to be like, garbage, don't watch it. No, I just like, I was disappointed, but there was good things about it. We're always going to do that. We're going to be like, look, this movie sucked. Like, Megan 2.0, we will probably review it.
Yeah.
And we might not like it, but there's like, man, there was probably.
Well, that's like Megan. Was it a great film? No, it had its moments.
Yeah.
You know, some of the movies that have come out that have gotten like critical acclaim.
Well, it's hard to make it like a AI or a toy gone bad because of Chucky. Like, it's kind of hard to reach that, you know.
Because it's been there, done that.
Yeah.
You're just not going to make it happen.
Yeah. But other than that, that's my little rant I have at the end. Like, dude, give us like a good reason why you don't like something. Or, you know, just to throw the whole thing in the trash. It's like, really, though? Is it that bad that you have to just dismiss the whole thing? It's different if, like, hey, those movies aren't for me. But if you're talking about certain movies, like, we are mainly horror. If I'm going to be like, no, this movie was trash, throw it away. Well, dude, you're a horror podcast. You should at least like some of the elements that were in it. Like, you don't have to like the movie or the casting or all that. Wolfman. Very disappointed in Wolfman, yeah. But... there was some good aspects in it. There was good acting. There was good, you know, stuff in it.
Well-represented arachnids.
Yes, very well-represented arachnids with giant stomping feet. But, yeah, I mean, that's just my little rant. That's all because, like, I was like, dude, this is building up. I'm about to let it out on the podcast. Other than that, you know, just check these movies out. You know, give them a chance. There's going to be some you don't like. There's going to be some you do like. But don't just dismiss them because, like, oh, fuck. Like, if you're not going to watch it again, that's fine. But if you're going to go, like, on a platform.
Yeah,
because
I am not watching Wolfman again.
No, I'm not watching it again either.
I mean, maybe if it comes on TBS or something and I'm, like,
doing the dishes or something.
Drawing or something, it might come on in the background. I'm not going to lie.
But, and maybe, who knows, maybe with movies like that, they'll probably grow on us.
Yeah.
Like, you know what, man, at first we didn't like it, but. After watching it like 20 times.
Or shoot, it could become like a cult classic. And next thing that you know, everybody's like having Wolfman movie night.
Yeah.
In 10 years.
Yeah. So, who knows? But other than that, guys, thank y'all so much for listening to my rant at the end. Please follow us on Instagram. The link will be in the description of this episode. Share us with all your family, friends.
Sworn enemies.
Sworn enemies, strangers, your dog, your cat.
Jimmy and the
Jimmy and his
the hot radioactive chicken nugget gang
and kneecap.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the first thing I thought of when I saw them, man. But yeah, thank y'all so much for listening, and we will see y'all
next week.